Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, P4P Muscle, Midwest Muscle Real Talk. I'm all confused. I don't have any cards. Dan does. But this program is sponsored by pizza and P4P Muscle and cards that Dan gets to eat. And also, Dez, who else are we sponsored by today?
Oh, my goodness. We are sponsored by Muscle Initiative. So do check them out. Awesome new clothing line that's on the radar there. And salute to small businesses supporting Natty Shows.
Amen to that. And this is also the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you have had pizza and carbs, you will remember stuff like that. And if you haven't, you will know that we are also a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like pizza through what?
Through ice cream.
Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk about food because I'm hungry. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong show. This is not the foodie show. How you doing, Des?
I feel good, na 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 na. You knew that I would, na 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 na. Hey, Kalen, I feel great tonight. How are you doing?
I'm the homeless, hungry guy, basically with the sign begging for carbs.
Oh shoot! Oh my goodness! So happy Thursday, everyone out there in listener land. Apologize for being a little goofy, but as we were prepping for the show, Kalen heard me crunching and munching, and he's like, "What are you eating?" And I fessed up. I said, "Pizza." And he said, "No, you're not." And I said, "Yes, I am." So I had my little slice tonight. I'm all carved up. I feel great. And you know what? It's a good thing because we are going to have a high-energy show tonight. We've got on a great guest, and we are going to be talking about one of our I don't know if it's our favorite topic, but it's definitely one. It's a hot topic that's on everybody's mind, and we're going to be talking about judging, and we are welcoming back Mr. Earl Snyder from the NGA. Earl, how are you doing?
Oh, doing great, Desiree. Hey, Kalen, I just want to thank you guys, P4P Muscle, and having me on. And, man, you guys keep growing. I mean, you guys are hitting every topic out there. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you know, well, we try. We definitely try. Well, you know, but our listeners, they have a lot of questions, and there's just a lot that's going on in the sport and in the industry, and if it touches an athlete, we want to be able to talk about it. So thank you very much for willing to be on tonight and talking about this subject. Kalen, quick recap. What we talked with Earl about the last time he was here last week, because unfortunately I had to miss that show, and then set us up for our discussion tonight.
Oh, well, you know, last week we had a great show, and, you know, Earl, when he was giving his background, was talking about the transformation, but then the topic about him being a head judge and also just, you know, just the judge in general. And one of the better ones in the industry. And all of a sudden we started getting flooded with questions. And because the topic about transformation and the information that was being released was, you know, authentic and original. And I did not want to miss out on that because there was so much information that came from that show. And a lot of people are also looking into that division, which I knew they would. And
awesome.
I did not want to be remiss and miss the topic of the show while we had so many questions coming in about judging, because I know, you know, thank God that Earl can always be reached out to, and he's the person that actually knows the information, and, you know, it's not just an answer, but actual, like I say it all the time, factual information, factual, because that's the thing that's missing in a lot of answers is people basically are responding, but they're not really answering. And Earl is one of those gems that you can always rely on to cover so many areas and so many avenues about what's going on. And so, you know, I was just praying we can have him back, and thank God that he was willing to do so to cover the topic of judging, because, my goodness, if especially after a weekend full of shows, it seems like it's a pretty hot topic right now.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, you get hit with that every week, you know, especially, you know, I have 23 weekends booked of judging this year all across the U.S. So, yeah, I appreciate coming on. Anything I can do to help out, that's for darn sure.
Well, you know, Earl, so the hot topic of the question, I guess I need another slice of pizza. The hot question in regards to judging is this, and I don't even know if it's a question as much as a statement, but, you know, we love our fans. They're there at the shows to support our athletes, and when their athlete doesn't win, there's always some scuttle, and not by the same people, you know, different people, this, that, you know, I'm not pointing out any one person, but there's always some scuttle as to what were the judges thinking? How could that person have won? Why didn't this person win? You know, or the athletes may be thinking that, what were the judges thinking? My scoring was totally off. And, you know, when that happens, we need to take a step back and look into everything that goes into the judging. So, A, get a little bit of education to make sure everyone's on the same playing field as to what judges are actually looking at and for. And we've talked about that some, but, you know, it never hurts to touch it again. And then do talk about the times when the judges maybe got it wrong. Or do they get it wrong? I mean, let's just kind of cover the gamut of this and just get this all out there so maybe – the next time we're watching a show and we're sitting there, you know, when we usually might be thinking, what on earth are the judges thinking? We actually have an idea of what the judges were thinking.
That's a great, again, this is a great topic, and hopefully it'll clear some things out, at least from my experience. Like I said, I'm very blessed to been head judge and judging all across the U.S. First of all, I think what we do, like anytime I head judge, okay, at the competitors meeting, and Paul Omar's good at this, is we let the trainers, the people that train these athletes, in to sit in the competitors meeting. And then we ask them, you know what, if you're a trainer, you need to be honest with your athlete. You know, call it like it is, because you guys are held just as much responsible as the athlete as far as the insight, because they trained them. So We get with the athlete, and then what I do is I get with all the judges and a lot of promoters. And again, I'm going on both sides tonight, and I'm going to just tell it like it is.
All right, come on.
There are some promoters out there. I don't care if they've been promoting for 10, 15 years. The head judge is supposed to have a judges meeting, and you have a judges meeting. And go over the rules, even though everybody's may have judged before, guess what? You go over. That way it gets them on the same sheet of music. It gets them thinking in the same process as what the rules say. And, man, there's a lot of times where I just show up to judge, and there's no judges meeting. You just sit down, there's a score sheet, and that's it. And I'm like, man. So right off the bat, that's what we try. That's what I try to do, is get everybody on the same sheet of music. Now, I got to figure out where I want to go with this, because I got so much information. I tend to put out a lot of fires, even though it's not our show or whatever. It's just that, you know, first of all, as a judge, a good judge, you will read the rules. You will read the bylaws. And so anytime, me personally, when I'm traveling and I'm flying to judge a show, even though I've read the rules, I still read them. Because guess what? Now the more I read them, the more I become familiar, the more I know how the judging goes. And that should be like that for every organization. If other organizations have rules out there for the – even I can only speak for the NGA, the athletes have access to the rules and has everything out there. So – that's one of the first things. And then as far as the judging's concerned, I get with the judges and I sit there and say, okay, this is what it is. Some of the issues that you have with judging is a promoter, and again, if a promoter is out there listening and I'm tramping on toes, hey, I'm sorry, but there's just some promoters that promote for years. They have the same people judging the same show, and guess what? That don't make them a good judge. And you may be loyal to that promoter. You may have been there from day one, and it might be your 10th year. That does not make that person a good judge. So that person may not know the rules. So even though they've been judging, and they've been judging for years, that don't make them a good judge. And I think that's where some, a little bit of problems are at. You got trainers out there, and I just ran into this. I had a trainer question me. He said, my athlete's the best, da-da-da. I've been to many shows. I've trained many people. You could be the best trainer and have 200 clients. That don't make you a good judge. And you tend to be biased when you're a trainer towards your athlete. Okay? So that's another part of it. And if you're a pro athlete or you're an athlete and you're doing real well in the sport, some promoters get those athletes because they've been around the block judging. Guess what? You could be the best athlete. That does not make you a good judge. So I think the promoters have to be responsible in getting good quality judges. And what makes a good quality judge? I can only speak for our organization. You got to read the bylaws. And there's videos. You have to look at the videos. You have to test judge two shows and be 80% of the outcome. And then you have to be in good standing with the organization. That's how you qualify as a judge. Anything less than that, you shouldn't be on a judging panel, because it's not fair to the athlete. The athletes work so hard, and do the judges sometimes get it wrong? Yes. Okay? But I always say to my clients, don't let it up in the hands of the judges. Do your homework. So that's a little tidbit. The other thing is, when I talk to the judges, and there's some people that get disgruntled that says, there's no way my person should have won first, or, you know, I should have won second, whatever. It's like, you know what? You got to be judgmental. You got to be subjective. And that's where a lot of the people in the audience or even competitors don't understand. Now, at some shows, do you have hometown cooking? I've seen that. In some organizations, I've seen it where the promoters, I want to say cheap, but the promoter might not want to spend any money and get everybody from the hometown. Well, that's not fair to an athlete that's flying in, coming in, trying to do their best, because guess what? They're getting screwed. I'm calling it what it is. And I've seen that so many times, and it's not fair to the athlete, because a promoter doesn't train like an athlete does going into a show. So, you know, that's why, like the other week, I was in Illinois. John Abrahams, he brings somebody in from Kansas. I come in from Pennsylvania. He brings someone in from Missouri. So when you bring people in all over, they don't know any of the competitors. You know, so that tells me, you know what? That promoter is doing something good. That promoter is looking out for the athlete, not trying to save a buck and bring everybody in local. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
So,
oh, yes.
So that's, so, and I've seen that go astray. One of the other things and is when you have a lot of people crossing over, and this is the stickler. When you have people crossing over into different classes and they come out 5 minutes later, very hardly any at all does it happen where positions get changed. Like this person beat this person, 5 minutes later, that person turned around and beat the other person. Now the athlete and the people in the audience have a right to complain, because very, very seldom should it happen. And one of the problems, mistakes, if that happens, and you've been to shows, both you guys been to shows and you've seen that happen, where the problem lies is in the judges. And you're saying, well, the judges are supposed to be good. Yeah, a good judge keeps good notes. They keep good notes on every athlete, and before they score them, they should have them scored on a scrap paper that you're taking as you're judging. Now you don't have a chance to get it messed up. So a good judge will keep good notes. A mediocre judge, they'll flip-flop. I'm going to call it like it is. And if you tend to flip-flop, guess what? You're not a very good judge. You're not very attentive. and you better have notes to back up why you changed. So I hold the judges accountable big time. And I said, and I tell them, at the end of the night, when those competitors come up, you better have an answer for how you placed them and why you placed them. And I tell every judge that. So when you got a flip-flop, you better, you know, we try to catch that and really get with the judge. So sometimes it's the inexperienced judges that may, I don't want to say throw a show, that may change a placing. You know, so again, that lies on the promoter bringing in good quality judges. And the other thing is, you guys, that when a show is going on, you have the head judge that needs to take control and say, look, this is the way it is. This is what I'm laying. You need your notes. You know, I can't stress that enough. So those are some of the things that, yeah, the people in the audience, yeah, they're right. As it got screwed up, yeah, it can happen. But before they be judgmental, they need to sit and look and really be subjective and take an honest look and say, you know what, you're right. So, you know, that's just the beginning of the judging aspect of where we come from. You know, and mm-hmm. I'll use this for example, and I'll put it out there. P4P Muscle, undefeated, putting on a show in 2018. And they've already are contacting judges that are qualified, and they even contacted me. And I'm like, man, that tells me this promoter is more about the athlete before running a show by setting things up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
So that to me, so as an athlete, and you think you know, if you got screwed and there is flip-flops, you know what? Maybe take a look at the show. Take a look at the judges. But the bottom line is, if the judging's very skewed, then the promoter needs to be held accountable. I don't care if you've been holding shows for 10, 20 years. You need to be held accountable because these athletes work hard and it's not fair to them. And that's what it's all about. It's about the athletes, not you running a show. It's about the athletes.
Just to me, no. I'm agreeing, and you know, I like it back to when, and you know, I'll just use Michael Jordan as an example because he's out of the Midwest in Chicago, and he was a phenomenal player. Oh my goodness, this guy could really shine when he needed to. Even sometimes when he didn't have to, he still shined just because he was that good. But when it came time to being a coach or an owner, he would just got awful. I mean, it was a shameful to watch. You know, and then basically he had to step back on the court to save the franchise that basically he bought. And it was embarrassing, you know, not one of the best moments of his career, but like you're saying, just because he was a great player, that did never mm-hmm. make him a great coach because he never learned how to talk to his teammates. He basically just showed them how to go and they followed suit. But as far as being a leader or somebody that could basically direct or in an analogy, I'm just so carpet-y, but in an analogy-like state, if you say he would not be a good coach to the very players that he was on court with, and, you know, we need to be mindful of that. It doesn't work for everybody. Like Earl was saying, you can have the best competitor, but that doesn't qualify them to be the best judge. And I'm glad that he brought that up because, you know, it's if we're going to grow, it has to be sustainable or it's not growth. I mean, because you could talk about cancer and say that's growth, but it doesn't mean it's good growth. So we have to be mindful that we're going in the right direction. And thank you so much, Earl, for putting that out there.
Well, just come to my mind that, you know, when we're talking trainers, and trainers get upset when their people don't place the way they think they should place, you know. And I'm going to talk to the trainers, you know. Do good athletes have trainers? Yes, but you could be a good trainer and have many people. Let's say you got a good reputation. But guess what? With you being a good trainer, That means you could diet that person down to where they're shredded. And you could do, you know, you got their cardio, you put everything into it. But guess what? You forget one aspect. You're not so good at the posing aspect. But guess what? What counts when you're on stage? It's not sometimes what you look like. It's how you display it. And it's in front of the judge's eyes. So that's like apples and oranges. You can get somebody shredded, but if you can't teach them to pose right for the judges.
Yes.
And then the trainers go nuts and it's like, ay, ay, ay.
I mean, there's just a lot of perspectives to keep in mind on this topic. And I'm glad that you brought up the point about the promoters, because that's an area that had never really crossed my mind. And I would have to think, I mean, depending on the organization and the amount of interaction an organization has had with their various promoters, there are probably, honestly, some promoters out there who don't understand how much emphasis they need to put on prepping with their judges. And so to them, it's not a big deal if they don't have a judges meeting or, you know, because they've got a million and one other things that they're doing. If the judges meeting doesn't happen, then, okay, you know, whatevs. These people are supposed to know what they're doing. But they're assuming that the judges have done their homework and aren't rushing around like they are. So, I mean, that's a great point that there just needs to be that extra level of accountability, and the promoters are in the driver's seat to make sure that that happens, because they're the ones who are doing the choosing of the judges to begin with. And it almost makes me wonder if there's not or shouldn't be a directory of judges somewhere, and maybe it's by organization, I don't know, but that, you know, that tells you who is a good, consistent judge, who's new but showing promise, or, you know, is just not a good judge. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's a realistic expectation. Maybe it already exists. I'm not a judge, so I don't know these things. But
yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, again, I can only speak for the NGA. Is we have a judges gallery, so they put more and more people that are out there in the judges in the as like say somebody's judging, where have they judged? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you hit the nail on the head. The promoter doesn't really concentrate on the judges. They just say, okay, I'm picking these six judges, these seven judges. Well, first of all, it better be an odd number of judges. Or I'm sorry, an even number, because you're going to have the head judge who shouldn't score, and then five to seven other judges. But you're right. They concentrate on the promoting and getting the vendors and this and this and this. But you know what? At the end of the day, the judges have to get it right, because that's what determines everything. So you're absolutely right, and that's why again, Joe Manning just come. You know, Caden gave my name. He's reaching out. Guess what? He's worried about the judges already. I was like, wow, that is impressive. And I do think the older promoters need to revisit this. And I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, showed up at a show in one organization, and here they had a head judge of another organization judging his show. Well, that don't make sense. If I'm running a show under our organization, I'm just going to use me as an example, the NGA, why would I have somebody from a different organization that may not be familiar with the rules head judge a show? And I've seen that. And then somebody...
No, I said I can follow that. That's a good point. That's a very good point. If you're not familiar with criteria, then God help everybody that's competing that's crying for that criteria.
What happens, Caden, is a promoter, like say they call someone up to judge. They don't say, are you qualified? They just assume, oh, he competed before. He's a pro athlete. He's a pro bodybuilder. Or she's a pro figure. Oh, she can judge for me. Again, we get back to the beginning, is that don't make them a good judge. And when I head judge, that's just me. I try to, like, if I have, let's say the promoter brings in four people, I'm going to use the NGA as an example, four people there, and then they use two people from a different organization. I just walk in, I'm like, you know what, automatically the people in the organization that's promoting the show, those judges should sit in the middle, because guess what? They have more insight on communicating with the head judge, and that's important, as opposed to somebody from the another organization. Not saying that they can't judge, because yeah, there's some people in other organizations, and I've judged other organizations, and yes, but you know what? Those people tend to be on the outside because they may not be that familiar with the rules. And when I judge in another organization, you bet I try to download those rules and I read those throughout the week. So when I go up to that show, guess what? Now I'm on their playing field, but I know what I'm doing. So that's another thing about the judges.
Wow, I'm just soaking it all in, because that's something I had never thought of before either, as the placement of the judges at the table. And you're right, that makes a lot of sense, you know, especially if you have someone outside of the organization, that they would be furthest away from the head judge, whereas those who are most familiar with the criteria for that organization would be closest. Because every organization is a little bit different, even when it comes down to posing. Some organizations, you do a side pose, they want you to spike your leg, you know, whether you're bikini, bodybuilding, whatever. Other organizations don't want you to spike your leg. You know, just a lot of different things that can play into the scoring. And I'm actually, we've had several listener comments come in, and I think we've touched on most of them, so I'm going to kind of roll through them, and we might expand on a couple more of them. So let's see. So I'm going to pose this. This is not really the question, but I'm going to turn it into another question. We had a listener who was in a show, and he felt that he was robbed, and the notes that he was given were complete garbage. And I know there are several athletes that feel like that. So you're not happy with your placement, and you try to get the judges' comments, or you try to talk with the judges, and the feedback that they give you is just, you know, it's either conflicting, or it doesn't make sense, or it's incomplete. It's just very brief and short, which, to your point, the judges should be taking complete notes. And I agree that at the end of the night, they should be prepared to be able to answer the question of why did you place me the way that you placed me? And I've seen judges that took comprehensive notes, which, you know, you see a lot of athletes in a show. It's hard for you to remember just based on face value what it is you thought of them. So that's a great point. But what happens when, you know, do athletes have any recourse if they are just not satisfied whatsoever and they're not happy with the comments that they got back because there just was nothing there that they could actually use to improve? Do they have any recourse at all?
Again, I can only speak for me.
Sure.
And I just put this out there that I tell them it compares me. Look, when you get feedback, first of all, you go to the judges after the show's over. And I said, if you're not happy with that, you know what? Then come and see me. I always put it out there, come and see me. And then I will try to, because for real, I don't throw no punches. So I'm going to be honest with them. Like what the other judges do, I can't be accountable for in other organizations. But guess what? I'm going to be honest with the athlete. So that's why I say, you know what? And you know what? I think there's some judges out there, again, the ones that are, I don't want to say are not qualified, or they may not be qualified. Yeah, they're going to give a generic answer. Absolutely. But then again, that falls back on the promoter. That falls back on the head judge, but the head judge is not actually in charge of the judges. So don't, you know what I mean? So again, it falls back. And that, and as an athlete, I'd be looking at that. You know what? I just see all the local people doing well. Well, you know what? I'd think twice about going to that show if a promoter's getting all, you know what I mean? Not very good judges. So, but the other thing is, I'm going to put this on the athletes. Okay, we're putting it on the judges. Now, I'm a judge. I'm going to put it on the athlete. At the end of the night, I always tell them, look, get with the judges. We're here to help you. We're here to help you reach your goal. So at the end of the night, when the show's over, get with all the judges. And Caitlin, you were there at the after party. I think that's great for promoters to do that, because guess what?
Yeah.
Now the athlete, they eat, right? The belly's full. They're happy. You know, that's a good time to suck in the feedback. But the problem is with the athlete is they get with you like 2.5 weeks later. Hey, I was number 17 at that show. What do you think I could have done? I was like, Oh, my word. I get that. I don't lie. I got one this week for last week. I'm like, every week. Now, it's not fair to the judges. I'm gonna represent the judges here. It's not fair to the judges because guess what? They got to get ready for the next show. And that might be the next week and then the week after. So it's not fair to them. So it's the athlete's responsibility when it's fresh in their mind. And if an athlete is real heated, especially a pro, I've had pros, I gave feedback. He didn't want to hear it, and I just cut the conversation. I said, you know what? Do me a favor. Meet me at breakfast tomorrow morning because we stay overnight in a hotel. And I said, I'll be glad. Right now, no matter what I say, I could say something positive, like I'll give you $100, and you wouldn't sink it in because you're so irate. And I did have a couple people that took me up on that, but most of the time they won't. So if you're a real athlete and you want real feedback, you know, get it after. If not, you get an invitation like I did. You know what? Meet me for breakfast. You'll have time to settle things down, have time to think about it. So, you know, hopefully that'll help. But, yeah, the athletes, it's important for the athletes to get feedback. And the judges, they better be responsible for giving feedback, not believing. Because I'll tell you what, 2 weeks ago, I am not lying, there was a judge that judged pre-judging. He went home and never came back for finals. I'm like, wow, I heard about that. I heard about that, and I was distraught. And I wasn't there at that show, and I'm like, oh, my word. If I was a promoter, I'd be jacked.
Yeah.
I would, too. And I'm not sure who we got this question from. Kaylin, you maybe have a name for me. But they asked, why can't judges give real answers to the competitors' questions? And I would say, just based on what Earl said and my own experience, if you want a more solid answer to your questions, you have to get in front of them and speak with them one-on-one. You might not be 100% satisfied, but I tell you, it's going to be a better explanation than what you're going to get from the comments on the judge's notes. So,
and you don't listen to the other thing is, Desiree, is when you get, an athlete gets upset, we all get upset, and we don't mm-hmm. think straight. So don't necessarily take it out on the judges. Wait till you cool down and then ask for feedback. You know what I mean? That's my words of wisdom. You know, get a little bit of something to eat. You know, chill out. Think about things. Don't ever talk because no matter what if I give somebody constructive criticism as well as good feedback, it's not going to sink in. So you need like a cooling down if you feel like you did get ripped off.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because, you know, like my pastor always says, I can always use me as an example because I can tell the truth because it's me. And I know how I felt. I know what I did. And I just remember a show where I had, a couple of shows back, I had beat a fella. And when I saw his name on the list, I was thinking, well, you know, I had him last time. I'll get him this time. And we got on stage, and guess what? I lost. And I was pretty ticked. I was pretty ticked, you know. And like Earl was saying, you don't go in there with ignorance, without understanding. And I was hot under the collar, and I saw some of the pictures, and I was thinking, wow, I didn't get to see that look about that fella. And then I saw some other things, and then it was like, wow, yeah, he really, he got me on a lot of good poses, especially in the mandatory. Mm. So basically, you know, with that cool down time, it did make a difference. And the one thing that I will say, and I, like I said, if we can use ourselves, is that I did not run to social media to blast each and every person that lives and breathes that was at that show. I basically took it in, you know, said some prayers and you know, asked for a peace of mind and heart.
That's all.
And to see things clearly, because I think that's what's going on, you know, especially when we finally get a little food in us, and things definitely look a lot different. We do have to understand that it is a judge looking at you with the right state of mind. And it's like Earl said, if it's not a show that you can trust, then basically why are you there? And now we have so many avenues to cover good, whole, productive, natural shows that if you're not reaching out, you really have to question your sincerity and the competition. So, you know, there's all sides we need to look at, but there's all sides we need to look from. And if we're not looking from the whole point of view, then a lot of times it does get skewed.
That's right, true, but I will say this, just real quick, I'm going to jump in and I'll let you have it, Earl, but I will say this, if you are competing in a show for the first time, either because you really like the promoter or, you know what, you're competing with a fellow athlete and you're not familiar with it, you can't always know what the judging history is. So, I mean, once you've done it once, then you have a choice of whether or not you're going to go back, for sure. Sometimes, you know, it is just the luck of the draw and the experience. All right, go ahead, Earl.
You know, that's, and actually Terry just chimed in, and she's reading my mind, that, you know, you got to remember, judging, when you judge, it's a subjective sport. And that's why we have different judges up there. Like, usually there's an even number of judges. You have 6 or 8 judges. Okay, the head judge usually doesn't score. Sometimes he has to. Just to let the people in the audience know, and the fans, usually the head judge doesn't score because he's busy worrying about calling out. And when you're head judging, you listen to your other judges. So it's not like we're whispering, hey, what do you think, you know, he's number 2. Da, da. No, we're asking, okay, what do you want to see? Okay, to the judge on my left. Or the judge of the right, what do you – oh, two judges down, they want to see a front double bicep, or they want to see an inner quarter turn. So, again, it's subjective. And the way it works is you throw the high score out. When we score, you always throw the high score out and a low score. And that's why you have an even – an odd number of judges, so there's no tie. You know, if every judge scored the same, why would you have more than one judge? So that's how it works. You have an odd number of judges. You throw the high and the low out, usually. And, again, it is subjective. The other thing is, Desiree, you reached on a good – you and Caitlin reached on a good point about social media. And you see, when you're a competitor, okay, I want this is for the athletes, and you think that you got screwed, name me one good thing out there that helps, or one good thing that's going to benefit you from putting something negative on social media. Just one. And you know what? I haven't had one. Because you know what? This is such a rough, natural bodybuilding is hard enough as it is. So why put something negative out on social media where it's not going to benefit you at all? You know, it's the positive things. Like, you know what? You take second graciously. Yeah. There's nobody that went to a show to come to lose. Nobody. Not one person comes to the show. So, you know what? Somebody's got to take second and third. So if that's you taking second and third, please don't blast anything negative on social media. It's about helping. You know, and we as judges, I'll be honest with you. Do we get rich judging? No. We might get like $50, $60. Just like to fly in, spend 2 full days, or to drive for 4 hours to what? To screw an athlete? No, we do it because we have a passion.
I love that. Yeah.
So, you know, we're there. Be honest with you. We're there for 9 hours making we get just enough to get our gas paid for. You know what? We're not there to screw anybody. And when you put something out negative on social media, it sounds like it's excuses. So, and I'm talking to the athletes, if things don't go your way, be above that. Don't put anything negative on social media because it's not going to help you as an athlete because now you're thinking, oh, it's this excuse and this excuse. So, you know, that was a good point about social media, Desiree.
Well, actually, I have to thank you, but that one was actually Kaylin's. But I will say this.
Sorry, I don't believe
that any judge goes to a show to mistreat any athlete, but I do think that there are judges that are more sincere in the effort that they put in than others.
Yes.
I will say that.
That's
just my opinion on that. You've already got some fans out here, Earl. Let me get this out, and then I'll let you continue. But Bill wants to know what shows you're going to be judging at, because he wants to be at your shows.
I'm booked all through. Let's see. This week, actually, I'm heading to Maryland. The following weekend, New Jersey. So I'm up and down the East Coast, and then, you know, depending on where Bill's from, I go out to the Midwest, out to Illinois, and then I'll be Universe down Florida. So, I think I got 20 more shows this week. So he can always message me, and any help I can get, I'm more, like I said, it's about not about me. It's about you, the athletes, you know? So, you know, but yeah,
okay.
What we're trying to do, because judging, I mean, you guys hit a hot topic. What we're doing, believe it or not, in the NGA is I don't want to say cleaning house, but just shaking up, because we want top quality judges. I think every promoter needs to take heed to that. Reevaluate who your judges are. What's their passion? You know, do they have a passion? Or are they qualified? You know, and I think every promoter from every organization needs to look at that.
Very good. I would agree. Layla wants to know where to find this judges list. I don't know. Is that something that's even open to the public? Or is that just privy to the organizations and promoters?
I think it's the organization. I know, like, on the NGA, they have, like, an athletes gallery, judges gallery. But yet there's more athletes that, you know, and you can actually ask by word of mouth, like, who's a good judge?
Yes.
You know, and something that we do, and again, I'm being blunt, whether I'm throwing somebody on the bus or helping somebody, but we recognize the weaknesses in judging, even at the shows we go. So we make changes, you know, so like me as a promoter, Terry and I, we look at quality judges, and guess what? If your scores are not up to 80% and up to par, you know what? We might have you expedite, or we won't have you at the table. Because, again, it's not about me running a show. No, it's about the athletes and getting a fair shake.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just throw this out there, Earl, because you touched on it. But I think that, you know, when you're talking about from the audience aspect, there's a lot of things that are missed, and because simply they're just not knowing of what's really going on. And I have to remember where last year that we were at a show, and there was this lady on stage that was phenomenal. I mean, just lights out. Whoever prepped her for that show had her more than ready. The one biggest issue and the biggest flaw was that she was in the wrong class. She was in the wrong category. And even though she was the best-looking person on stage, bar none, even on the men's set, she was in the wrong category, and she got scored because of her. She didn't match the criteria for what the, you know, the category she was in. And
wow.
You talk about an erupt. And I said, hey, you know, my comment basically drew the most fire, but it also shut a lot of people down because it was basically, all right, what coach would sign her up for that class if you know the criteria going in? And basically,
ooh,
he didn't know the criteria. He didn't even bother to check. He figured every
ooh
organization is going to cover with this same look, and that's what we're going to go with. And it just did not happen that way. And, I mean, you talk about a social media firestorm. It was just brutal. But, you know, like you said, if you don't have a cool head to prevail, it just gets worse and worse, and nobody wins. Trust me, nobody wins.
Wow, Kaden, that's good money there. I mean, there's times where I've judged. This is no lie. A lady had her abs were shredded, I mean, six-pack abs. She had striated shoulders. Her quads were separated, and she was in bikini. I'm like, and she had enough muscle to easily be figured. I was like, and that was a good point. To get back to the judging, though, well, I'm just speaking on our behalf, is what we in the NGA do is we analyze the scores at every show with the board, like the NGA board members, and it goes down to headquarters. So every week we review those scores and judges at the headquarters. So that's something, that's why we're trying to always perfect, because why? Because it affects the athlete, and it's all about the athlete. So I just want to put that out there that, you know, that's that's what we have to do. And like you said, Kaylin, about your last example, that's where a coach comes in. A good coach, guess what? Pick up the rules, read it. Oh, this organization says bikini this, figure this, you know? So you're right on with that, Kaylin.
Yeah. Also, you know, we need to be mindful is that any competitor is driven, and I'll say that because when I say, you know, because there's some people that do bucket list competitions, but any competitor is driven, and like Earl and Dez have said, we're not stepping on stage to be last place, and anybody goes in that mindset isn't a competitor, and trust me, I say this. Being a competitor in multiple sports, you don't get successful by playing for last place. And so we need to understand that we go into a driven mentality, into a very driven sport, because it is a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of months where you're going to be alone for some time, because people really don't understand your life or your lifestyle in full. So when you don't place the way you want, realize that's you not placing the way you want. And, you know, I get that judges can screw up. I get that promoters can screw up. But like Gorilla is saying, competitors and coaches can screw up too. And if you can't come from that point of view, then you're not covering the whole spectrum. And really, the fault comes back to basically how your mindset was or how sincere you were. Because honestly, the days when, you know, when I first started competing, you know, I did have that Snickers bar when I couldn't get to any other food. But I didn't know about food prep. And I did, you know, have a soda when I didn't have anything else to drink. And it cost me on stage. And, you know, did I want to tell the people that I knew that I did that? No. Did I lie about it? No. And I know people that will go in the opposite way, and they will basically deny it, you know, deny the truth, and say basically it's everyone else's fault but the food that I shouldn't have eaten that I did. And, you know, really, we have to really address things, and if we're going to address it correctly, then we have to address all sides correctly. And I love where Earl is coming from. Because nobody's off the hook on this one. I'm just enjoying this show. Fully, thoroughly enjoying it.
Let me mention something, Kaylin. Again, Terry reminded me that, you know, when you have shows, it's all about who shows up that day and in what kind of shape. So I have seen where two people compete against each other and one person beat the other one, and guess what? Two weeks later, the athlete still has the mindset, oh, I got this person because I beat him 2 weeks ago. Guess what? That person might have changed. Guess what? Might have made adjustments, and then you're sitting there complaining about the judges. Guess what? In with a two-week variable, or guess what? Somebody else shows up that day. That could change the whole perspective, and they need to keep that in mind. You know?
So
that's why we change.
Go ahead and finish.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay. So my question is this. So back from my, my earlier advertising days, advertising agency days, you know, we had a certain client that they were a franchise and they would have a get well or get gone program. So if they had franchisees that were underperforming, you know, they brought someone in to help them improve and gave them so much time. And if they didn't improve, then they were just out of the franchise. Is there like a get well program for judges that just aren't hitting that 80% mark? I mean, I understand what the process is to become a judge and to prep judge and the things that they can do along the way to help them become a better judge. But for those that are just struggling, and if an organization recognizes that a judge is struggling, you know, is there some sort of program to help them improve instead of just losing them altogether?
No, that's a good question. That could be something. There you go, Desiree. We could open that up in the future. But you know, if judges need help, they can always reach out to the ones. Now, if you're not reaching 80%, even though you've been judging that show, guess what? Maybe it's time to really sit down and look at the rules and everything. And that's why I'll be honest with you. Last week of the show, there's like two or three judges that usually judge this show in this area. Guess what? The head judge ended up shaking things up and said, you know what? You haven't been performing. Even though they've been with them for years. I'm like, wow, hats off to that. Because you know what? It's about the competitor. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So we're in the process of weeding out the not so strong judges, and I'm putting that out here tonight. And if you're an NGA promoter or another promoter, guess what? You better evaluate your judges, because guess what? If your organization, you're only as strong as the people that are underneath you, and that's the judges. If that makes sense. The other thing I was going to mention, test judges. If anybody's interested, and you don't have to be an athlete. There are some good judges that have never competed before, but guess what? They've been at the shows, they've studied, they've read the bylaws, they know what we're looking for, okay? So if you're a test judge, we talked about that. And those people tend to be hungry and eager because you know what? Judging is a privilege. So that's the way I see it. So if I get invited to judge, I'm like, man, that's a privilege, not, okay, here I'm going to another show. So I keep that in perspective. And so we try to mentor the new test judges to help them. And I get with each one that I can, even the night before the show, say, look, these are some helpful hints. So I guess it is like a mentoring type thing. And, you know, that just – and the support will help test judges become good judges, hopefully. And the other thing is, because I'm thinking of this, if you're a judge, honestly – and you have somebody in the show, and this is to the judges. Man, they're going to hate me. Guess what? Don't judge that class. When I see that, guess what? Other competitors know. So 2 weeks ago, I'll give you an example. Out in Illinois, one of the judges says, Earl, I have more of my clients in the next class. I said, do me a favor. Excuse yourself from the table. Just go back of the auditorium, and that way nobody can sit there and say, you know what? Oh, you judge for your own people. Huh. So out of integrity, if you're a judge and you have clients in the show, guess what? Either don't judge, help them, or if you have one, excuse yourself from the table. And then the head judge can score. Because I had to judge that, which I have no problem.
One of the things that I think we also need to look at is the fact that we are a tight-knit community, and we are very protective of the hard work that we all do. And there's a lot of things that are put out, and I will stress this and I will continue to stress it, is that we have to be truthful in what we do and what we say. Because, Earl is saying that if everybody's going to be honest about what they're doing, we get better. But if you're holding back because you know there's something that you didn't do, then it would be better to just shut up or keep your mouth shut. And, you know, it's just not fair. And, you know, the one thing that I was always frightened about when I first started getting into this sport is that people would put on social media before the days or peak week before the show, you know, getting pro card ready, hashtag pro card stands. Pro card bound, you know, and then if they don't win, I think, and look at the pressure you're placing upon yourself and anybody else who support you. I mean, they basically have to speak out if you don't win. You got robbed, you got cheated. And even when they see the pictures, and, you know, a lot of times you do have to be there live to see the real deal of what was going on stage. And backstage photos just don't cut it in stage lighting. So, you know, I you get no pass on that one for me. But also, if you're not being openly honest about, you know, everything that happened, then you're not doing the sport or yourself a favor. And I've seen more people's profiles where they started a page that you will like, and they've been dormant for 6-7 years, or God knows how long, because basically they, you know, this is going to be the thing that brought them out of that dungeon of life they've been hiding, and this is going to clear the air, and they were finally going to be the full person they were, and it just never came about because, you know, if you're a broken individual, I'm telling you, a show will not help you in that. You got to get around good people, and you got to get your mind right. And, you know, Earl deals with a lot of headaches that he's not going to speak on, and he could. I mean, honestly, with some of the stuff that's been sent his way, it's shameful when you guys use the wording, I'll just say it like that, that you use when you're talking to somebody of that's willing to work so hard on your behalf. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. And there's just too much going on in this sport to bring it down now, because there's a lot of people working really hard on your behalf. And if you're not willing to support yourself, then, you know, the whole nation can't help you. So, Earl, we'll let you get the last word. And thanks again so much for being so open and honest. I love it. I mean, I just love it. And you take away all fear and all doubt for the people that have been listening. Because we've got some rants that, well, I mean, I sure won't make public.
But the what you say, Kaylin, is very good. I mean, one, everybody looks good standing alone. Everybody looks good in the gym practicing. Everybody looks good in front of their coach. Guess what? When you stand up on stage, it's a whole different ball game, you know? And when you're dealing with social media, when you're saying that, like you just said, Kaylin, like hashtag need my pro card, this and this, I always refer to Michael Jordan. Very seldom do you see Michael Jordan brag, I'm going to hit 50. No, he was just quiet, and guess what? He did what he needed to do. So he let his actions speak, not his words. So, but yeah, if anybody, like I said, needs any help, any direction in judging, I'm here to help anybody, because guess what? It's to help the athletes reach their goals. It's to help the sport come together and be strong as one unit. And you know what? It's like a wheel. It takes the promoter, the judges, you have the athletes. But the judging, promoters, reevaluate who you get and then go over them with them. And then, again, the judging meet and the competitors meeting, be honest with the like Kaden said, be honest with the trainers. Be honest with the coaches. They need to be honest. So hopefully this helps some people out there, you know. So I appreciate the topic, man. It's just well needed.
Well, and we appreciate you, Earl. I mean, you've helped me a lot. And, you know, I'm not a judge at this point, but, you know, maybe one day. I mean, the more and more I learn about this aspect of the sport, the more respect I have for it. So definitely thank you for sharing with us and being real about what you were sharing and not sugarcoating it, because that's the kind of stuff that we need to hear and that we want to hear on Real Talk. So good luck, safe travels in these next 23 weekends that you're on the road.
thank you. Thank you. But, yeah, if anybody out there wants to reach out or anything on anything, again, I'm here to help people no matter what the situation is or where they want to go. And you guys
okay,
are great.
Okay, so real quick, Earl, okay, so they can find you on Facebook, Earl Snyder, but then do you have an email address that maybe they could take down as well?
Yeah, they can contact me personally at earlpearlsnyder@live.com. Or through our show promotion, ngaeastcoastnatural.com. But all my personal emails, that's earlpearlsnyder@live.com.
All right, awesome. You folks heard it here on P4P Real Talk. So on behalf of myself, Earl, Kaylin, real quick, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle.
You pause longer and longer every time for that. So snickerdoodle is snickerfoodle. And on behalf of the boys at P4E Real Talk, your body is a temple, so let's build it.